and boxes. Let's go. Hello and welcome back. So we'll get straight into it. We were talking earlier about the question and answer, the Ask Me Anything section. There's still a few more questions to get through that I think are pretty cool. So I want to make sure that I give you plenty of time with these answers, as I think it's probably relevant for most people. I mean, take this one, for example. This is a message from a guy called Thomas. The question is called revamping marketing for a seasoned firm. As the owner of an established accountancy firm, I'm facing stagnant growth. We've been relying on traditional marketing that no longer yields new customers. What modern marketing strategies should I adopt to rejuvenate our client base and attract a younger demographic without alienating our existing clients? Interesting. This happens a lot with professional services firms, actually. And when you talk about modern marketing strategies, there is an element of me that shudders, because when I hear the phrase modern marketing strategies, I think about all these fake gurus who are trying to sell you, you know, create 5 bits of content for TikTok a day and everything will be great, or you know, do your email list, or if you've got a webinar, or is it Facebook advertising, stalking people around the internet, all that kind of stuff. And when I think about our version of modern marketing strategies, I think about enhancing technology to, how would I word this? I think about utilizing technology to enhance the human experience. So what the hell do I mean by that? Well, what I mean by that is the old way of doing business, which for the most part, most of us enjoyed, by the way, which was the whole, you know, it's not what you know, it's who you know and what they know about you. It's the whole, your net worth is your net worth. There's all that great kind of stuff, right? And it was all about the handshake and seeing someone and being able to do that. And people, I heard someone say to me just the other week from a professional service firm, they weren't an accountancy firm, they were a legal firm. And the guy said to me, that world doesn't exist anymore. And it does. It does exist. I unequivocally disagree with that. Unequivocally disagree with that statement. I'm making up words today. I disagree with that statement. That world does exist, it just moved online. And what I think a lot of people are trying to do is either hark back to the days of, let me go to a BNI breakfast morning and play, you know, the swingers fishbowl with business cards, essentially. And it's like, you know, everyone waits, everyone's got 60 seconds to explain what they do or whatever it is, and no one's listening because they're just thinking about their 60 seconds. Then you have a coffee break, go over to the person, and the first thing they do is say, so what do you do? And you're like, the same thing I just told the group I did like 5 minutes ago. That's lost its effect. There's no doubt whatsoever that that's lost its impact. But global networking and strategic networking has never been easier. I think the challenge that most people have is that they don't have a reason to talk to people. So what they're doing is messaging people and saying, you know, let's have a virtual coffee, let's have a chat. Or, you know, nobody wants to be friends with their accountancy firm. Like, I'm really sorry to say that. And I love my accountant, but I don't want to be friends with them. Right? I don't want them sending me funny holiday greetings cards or memes. Like, I don't want that at all. What I want is to know that they're the best of the best. And what I want is to feel like I'm part of a select club. So when you're talking about ways of rejuvenating the client base without alienating existing clients, I would be rewarding your existing clients by offering them some sort of an additional incentive, a perk, a discount in return for them referring you to new business, because we all know that referred business is the easiest business in the world to close. However, referrals are quite hard to control, aren't they? I mean, when they come through, it's great, but you can't forecast them. You don't know how many referrals you're going to get in a month unless you're strategic about it. So let me give you an example, right? If I was to message 10 people right now from my client base and I was to ask them to leave me a LinkedIn review, I reckon about 2 of them would do it. Not because I'm not good at what I do or because they don't love me, because they're busy doing what I taught them how to do. They're busy winning doing the things that I showed them how to do. So they don't have time for that. But if I record each of them a recommendation video, have it put on LinkedIn as a transcription and give them the video, you better believe that 9 out of 10 of them or more are going to return the favor. Why? Because I did something for them first. So think about that from a client perspective. What can I do? What can I give to my clients that's going to incentivize them to want to go and make introductions, to make those referrals? That's the first thing that I would say, is that your current paying customers are the closest thing to money. In as much as, and that sounds really simplistic, it's like, well done, Phil, that's brilliant. The people paying me are the people paying me. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, those people know at least six people like them. And if you're doing a great job for them, give them a reason, give them a motivation, incentivize them to go and make those referrals and those introductions for you. Your business will thank you. I promise you, there'll be a whole book of new business there. That's the first thing I would say. The second thing that I would say is, and I mentioned this earlier to somebody's question, is it's about strategic networking. It's better to be famous for 50 of the right people rather than 5 million of the wrong. So knowing and accepting that that is the case, you need to be networking with those 50 people. You don't need to be thinking about newfangled modern technologies to try and get yourself out there and start marketing yourself. Think about what I said to somebody earlier. You position your website, your LinkedIn, any other social platforms that you have as a giant authority positioning and credibility tool. Use your case studies if you can. Have your clients' words on there. I promise you, one of the things that sells my business the most is that every year we update this video and we have a 45-minute long compilation video of client testimonials. I know no one's watching that whole thing. I mean, they're skipping around and that's fine. I mean, I don't expect people to sit and watch a 45-minute long compilation video. But that does two things. The first thing it does is they go, wow, look how many people have left recommendations and love this guy and love his business. The second thing is they will jump around until they find somebody that they resonate with. And when that person is like, let's say I'm working with somebody who runs an accountancy firm and they're saying, we were looking for ways of marketing and positioning ourselves and growing, and Phil did this, this, and this, and look what we've achieved. You now want to become a client. I haven't even spoken to you, but you now want to know how I've done that. You now want to ask me those questions. So let's stop trying to think about how we make ourselves stand out in the noise and find a way to cut through the noise. This is no longer about how do I make more noise to get people to look at where I'm standing. It's about repositioning and standing where people are already looking. That would be my advice to you. Okay. Next question. That felt like that needed a testify, didn't it? Next question is technology adoption in traditional business. Our family-owned architectural firm has been based on traditional design principles for decades, but digital modeling and VR are becoming industry standards. Yes, they are. How can we integrate these technologies without losing our craftsmanship that defines our brand? And what steps should we take to make sure that this adapts smoothly? It's a good question. It's so weird. I was actually having this conversation with my cousin a month ago, who runs a traditional architectural firm in the UK. She just won some awards recently. Congratulations. So this is going to sound like such a strange answer. Have you ever watched the movie Moneyball? It's about baseball and about, I think it's Bill James with his strategy of, you know, you buy wins, you buy runs, you buy, you know, you don't buy players. The players are, have a big brand around them and that's going to cost you a lot of money. So what you're essentially doing is you're looking, if I'm trying to buy a defender, instead of trying to buy a big name defender who's going to cost me loads of money in football, I'm going to look at, well, actually, what I need is to concede less goals, and I need a defender that's going to come the cheapest available for price but has the most interceptions and blocks in their defensive area. And you start looking at the data behind this. And it worked okay, but look, the Oakland A's never really did anything, did they, as a result? I'm not a huge baseball fan, by the way, but one of my business partners and friends has been like a World Series coach a number of times, great guy. So I kind of experienced this from his side of things. And where the success in baseball came from was combining the science and the data of the game from that kind of Bill James approach. Hopefully it is Bill James, otherwise I'm making myself sound like an idiot. The money ball strategy with the knowledge and the craftsmanship of the seasoned coaches, the seasoned players, the ex-players, the coaches, the conditioning coaches, the managers, etc. The GMs. And that's where the success came from, was the healthy blend of both. So my advice to anybody who is looking to implement new technology into this is really quite simple. It's, I don't want you learning that. I really don't. I mean, if you have an interest in it, go for it. But don't force yourself to learn something that you don't want to learn. Bring somebody in that has probably just graduated or recently graduated that is really up to date with all of these new technologies and how it's working, and combine the two. Mesh that person's love of technology and embracing AR and VR and mixed reality and CAD and all that kind of stuff, and combine that with your expertise, with your knowledge, with how you've, you know, developed the craftsmanship. I think it was a beautiful word that you used, the craftsmanship of what it is that you have done and what it is that you've developed. I think combining those two things together can be very successful. But I'm a big believer in not asking a sports player to learn a different position on the field. That doesn't really make sense to me. If you are the world's best striker and scoring goals, I'm not going to teach you to be a defender. That doesn't really make much sense because I'm, okay, you might learn to be an okay defender or maybe even a good defender, but you're a world-class striker. So why would I sacrifice my world-class striker for an okay or mediocre defender? Well, it's the same notion here. Why would I sacrifice a world-class architect who has crafted their skill over a number of decades in return for somebody who might be okay or pretty good at the technology side of things? Doesn't make sense. So right now, your architectural sports team is recruiting a tech expert so that you can still shine at the bit that you shine at, they can shine at the bit that they shine at, and combined together, you can really achieve some incredible results. That would definitely be my advice here. Finding fulfillment beyond success. After years of relentless work, I've achieved most of my financial goals and my children are now running the business. Great, congratulations. Yet I wake up feeling lost. Okay, not so great. Wondering what impact I'm truly making. It's as if all of my challenges are gone and I've just gone through the motions, What steps can I take to rediscover my passion and ensure my later years are as fulfilling as my earlier ones? Wow, okay. It sounds like you've entered into a new phase of the hierarchy of needs, right? And I'm not an expert on the hierarchy of needs, so I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I am. But I know enough that at one level, it's just about basic survival, and then it's about comfort, and then it kind of keeps going up and up. And it sounds like you've graduated, you've evolved, whatever terminology you want to use, to that next stage. I mean, the first thing I would say is congratulations. That's great that you've grown the business, you've achieved a lot, and your children are running the business. I'm hopefully this doesn't sound condescending, because it's definitely not supposed to. I'm proud of you. That's something that I'm looking to do with my family. So congratulations. Probably doesn't feel great right now, but that doesn't feel great right now because you've lost your purpose. We're probably at the stage now that we need to start talking about legacy. You have built something and it is now provided for you and your family, and now it's providing for your children and their family, as well as anybody else that you hire, as well as doing great work for your clients. So now it's about you. It's about you and your legacy. What do you want to be known for? In fact, somebody asked me a question earlier today that was really thought-provoking, so I'm going to share it with you. They said, let's imagine that you've got to the end of your life. Sorry, I'm not trying to make you depressed. You've got to the end of your life, and you're looking down on your funeral service. I actually made a joke at the time and said, hopefully I'm not looking up at it. But you're looking down on your funeral service, and somebody is going to describe you in three words. You, your life, your impact. They're going to describe you in three words. Two questions. What do you want them to say? What do you want those three words to be? Second part of the question. What are those three words right now? Are they the same thing? Are those three words the same for both? And if not, why not? Because what that's going to do is it's going to give you a bit of an idea as to, actually, I really want to be known for this. And right now, I don't think people would say that. So that's going to give you a bit of a steer in the direction of where it is you should be spending your time. But legacy is such an important one because you've achieved so much. I mean, I don't think you quite realize how special what you have achieved is, nor how many people would love to learn from your experiences as to how you've done that. So many business owners dream of not only having a successful business, but being able to one day hand that over to their children. Like, your purpose could very well be attached to helping others to realize that dream because you've seen it. And wouldn't that just be the greatest irony that you currently feel lost having done that, but you could find salvation, you could find yourself in helping others to do the same thing? So that's really special. I'm not suggesting that you have to do that. I'm just using it as an example. But this for me is all about legacy. And whilst I don't want to sound all woo-woo or cheesy or any such kind of word, I want you to kind of meditate on this, pray on this, meditate on this. Spend some time thinking about what it is that you could do that could make you happy. What did you used to do that made you happy? You know, is there a new project you could start? Is there a new business that you could start? Could this be an add-on to your existing business? Could you be helping other people to achieve what you've achieved? I think there's a lot of people who would really love to hear that. But ultimately, you're not feeling challenged anymore. You said those words yourself. You're not feeling recognized. And as harsh as this sounds, that's a choice. That's a choice. You're choosing that right now because the challenges have changed. It's different challenges. You no longer run that business. Your children do. What can you do to provide support to them? What can you do to provide support to others? What can you do that will actually motivate you and excite you? You know, what are the challenges that you've been through that you would love to help other people not to have to open that wrong door and instead open the right ones? I think this is really about understanding the stage of your career that you've got to and being really clear and honest with yourself about what is it that you have to impart and who it is that you want to impart that to. And as a result, I still think you can have a very successful career, a very fulfilled career, and one that really is going to drive you forward to something meaningful. A legacy, those three words that you want them to say at your funeral that summarize you and your life. And, you know, God willing, that funeral is many, many, many decades away from now. What are you going to do between now and then to make sure that those three words that are said about you are the three words that you want to be used to describe you? Okay, lovely. I think there's another interview coming up now, so we're going to put that on. I really enjoyed these questions. Please keep them coming. There is a couple more questions left, so we'll do those after this next break.
Thank you so much for watching this interview on Billionaires in Boxers. If you would like to join us as a guest on Billionaires in Boxers, or indeed on Palooza TV, all you have to do is email us at vipbookings@billionairesinboxers.com.